Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. It's that time of year again, time when people make resolutions to do better in the new year than they did in the old one. Often losing weight is one of those goals. But what's the difference between losing weight in a healthy way and becoming obsessed? When do you know when you have an eating disorder?
If your thoughts and behaviors around food, weight, and body image are disrupting your ability to enjoy life and engage in relationships, you know, that's enough of a sign to reach out for help.
Weight and health and resolutions on today's American Cafe. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you've struggled with your weight your whole life. Well, this time of year, American television is bombarded by a very special kind of ad for weight loss and exercise programs and products.
I love bread. I love bread.
It's time to take control with Nutrisystem.
Introducing new Lean 13 from Nutrisystem.
Are you ready?
There's no denying that weight is a problem in our country. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that nearly 38% of all Americans over the age of 20 are obese. For those under 20, the number shoots up to nearly 71%. Diseases related to weight and overeating include diabetes, heart disease, and some forms of cancer, so there's clearly a problem. But the diet industry in the United States raked in $6.3 billion last year, and that doesn't include gym memberships, or surgery for weight loss, or other items that might be included in that total. But how do you know if your dieting has become extreme, if you have an eating disorder? Well, let's explore this by starting out with the story of a former Miss America, Kirsten Hagland. She told me that her eating disorder arose because she wanted to be thin, not for pageants, but for ballet.
I latched onto ballet and doing whatever I needed to do in that environment in order to be successful. And one of the things, besides training all day long, 24 hours a day, you know, is attaining this body ideal. And it's very, very thin. And so I started to restrict my food intake, and that just, you know, it was never enough, and I kept trying to lose more and more weight and try to get thinner and thinner. And it really became not just about the food and the weight, but really about being happy, pleasing other people, and being able to control my life. And I thought, if I could be thin enough to be a professional dancer, then I'll be able to control my life and I'll be able to know what's going on. So that was really the struggle that I delved into. And thankfully, when I was 15 years old, my parents got me treatment, and today I'm fully recovered, and I speak about this issue a lot to a variety of different audiences, and it's become a real passion of mine. But I never would have gotten involved in the Miss America organization if I hadn't actually struggled with my eating disorder, because when I recovered, I had to leave the ballet world. I said, oh gosh, okay, now I'm going to try to discover other things that I like to do, other interests that I have. I got really involved in theater, and voice and other performing arts, because I was a creative person, and decided, okay, I'm going to go to school for musical theater after I graduate high school, and that's going to be my new path. Well, in the process of applying for schools, of course, you apply for scholarships as well, because school is expensive. And I had known some women that had competed in pageants, particularly Miss America, and they'd won scholarship for college. So I thought, okay, I've been on stages all my life. I can perform on a stage. I'll just sing this aria I've been working on with my vocal coach and wear my prom dress as my evening gown, and I'll be all set. And so I entered one local pageant. I won that pageant, and then I had to go compete at the state level. I won Miss Michigan, and then I won Miss America. So it all happened very quickly for me, which is not the case usually.
And also, that was a struggle being in the pageant world as well, because there's a lot of pressure in that world as well to be, quote unquote, the ideal, particularly if you're competing to be Miss America, which is held up as the ideal American woman.
You would think that it would be even more pressure. But what's interesting is because of two factors. One, because I was in it for such a short period of time, because I won my local, went straight to my state, and then the national title. I didn't consume all of my life like it does for some women who compete year after year after year. But secondly, because I chose as my platform, which is an advocacy issue that every woman chooses to promote throughout her year, I chose to raise awareness of eating disorders. I chose to talk about this issue. And so as soon as I started talking about it and started sharing my story, I knew that all eyes were going to be on me. Does she look anorexic, which is a falsification in and of itself, just because people that are sick with eating disorders don't necessarily all look very thin. Many of them look like a normal weight, or if they struggle with binge eating disorder, can be overweight. So, you know, what someone looks like is not an indication of how sick they are. But I knew that all eyes were going to be on me, and that I really had to practice what I preached, meaning if I was going to talk about this issue and say, these are deadly serious illnesses, I've been down that road, I've tried it, it doesn't make you happy, it doesn't give you what you seek, and life in recovery is so much better, I needed to be living that in my everyday life. So it actually kept me healthy and kept me strong throughout competing, that I wasn't going to, you know, buckle under the pressure, that I was going to be me, I was going to love and appreciate my body no matter what size, no matter what I looked like, and try to be an example to young girls that were looking up to me.
You were Miss America. You are an example. You have come through eating disorders and come out on the other side. What would you say to someone who is struggling with this issue?
You're not alone. This disease can be so isolating, and you feel like you're the only one and that no one can understand the mental gymnastics that you go through every day and how difficult this is to deal with. But just to know that you're not alone. There are millions of other people that struggle and go through the same thing. And there are millions of people that recover. And some days it might feel like you can't do it and recovery is impossible. Or you might slip up one day after having several good days in a row. And I just want those young women or young men to know that full recovery is possible and to have hope. And the second thing, you know, on the topic of body image in the media is to, if you're going to go on any diet, consider going on a media diet. And that's the only kind of diet that I approve of. And it really just is being conscious about what media you consume and how it affects you. Because the images that we see in advertising and in magazines and on television or, you know, we're bombarded. And those images make an impact on us. So just monitor what kind of media you're consuming and what impact it has on your brain. And if you need to take a media break, restrict what media you consume, you know, take a break from Instagram for a couple days, unplug, and really get in touch with who you are in the present moment. That can be so incredibly beneficial for restoring a healthy body image and valuing yourself and others for what's really important, not just their physical beauty.
Claire Misko is the head of the National Eating Disorders Association. She told me that there are some signs that people should look for to avoid an eating disorder.
You know, the litmus test, I think, is if your thoughts and behaviors around food, weight, and body image are disrupting your ability to enjoy life and engage in relationships, you know, that's enough of a sign to reach out for help. Early intervention is so, so critical in eating disorders. You know, the longer someone is struggling, the more entrenched the behavior becomes and the harder the eating disorder is to treat.
We live in an era now where you get instant feedback with social media like Instagram or Facebook, and those also play a big role in this kind of disorder, do they not?
Right. And social media doesn't cause eating disorders, but it can amplify some of the thoughts and behaviors associated with them. On the flip side, we also see a lot of people in recovery who are using social media as a positive tool. There's a lot of positive communities around recovery that are in, you know, in the social media space. And so depending on where you are and what's healthy for you, finding those communities and connecting with others in recovery can be very empowering and part of the recovery process.
If you'd like more information about eating disorders and some ideas where you can get help, you can log on to NIDA's website at nationaleatingdisorders.org. Kirsten Hagland also has a foundation that helps people with eating disorders. Her address is Kirsten Hagland, that's KirstenHagland.com. Our address for questions or comments on this program is voanews.com. You can also find us on Facebook at VOA American Cafe. For all the folks at VOA, I'm David Byrd. Thanks for listening.